If you have your Bible with you this morning, and I hope you do, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. I was thinking as I was reading to our children last night from our children's Bible that oftentimes we kind of have a children's Bible view of things. If you've read enough children's Bible, you'll quickly realize that they kind of skip around in the storyline of Scripture, and oftentimes the stories that they skip around from are often the ones that are less flattering for the people of God. You know, if we read a children's Bible, we might read it and think, you know, they got out of Egypt and went hop, skip right into the Promised Land. But that's not exactly how it happened. What we begin with is 40 years of difficulty for the people of God. Last week we saw how God had brought them out with his mighty hand. He had parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel crossed over as though on dry land. And the army of Pharaoh, which was after them, was drowned in the flood. And what? We might be tempted to think, well, everything's going to be okay for the people of God. They understand the salvation of God. But God is going to bring his people to a place of testing, as we'll see. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the water. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, as we study your text, I pray that your Spirit would open our eyes to how often we are like the people of Israel. How often we find ourselves in places of testing, and we don't often pass the test well. If we do, it's barely. We thank you that we're saved by your grace and our faith in you, and not our ability to pass the test. But we pray that this text would spurn us to a greater trust and greater obedience toward you. For this we pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. So we need to remember what's already been told to us in the text, that the Lord had made his presence in his people a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And Moses would have the camp get up and leave when the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire guided them. So here the people of the Lord are going to find themselves in a place of bitterness by divine appointment. It wasn't Moses' poor map reading that leads them to where they are. It is the guidance of God that leads them to a place of bitterness. Verse 22, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. 3 days without water. They left in a hurry. They might have brought some by now. Their supply is getting exhausted. And just as they're coming to the point of dehydration where they feel they desperately need water, the Lord's leadership brings them to a place that literally means bitter. Verse 23, when they came to Marah. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. They come to a place where the water is salty. Imagine you're on a journey and the first body of water you come across is a salt lake or a sea. And you find yourself unable to drink it. And scientists say the animal will have to come to a point of delirium and dehydration before it would dare drink salty water. And here they are. They know where they are is by the divine direction of God. They know that this is the God who could turn the Nile, a source of fresh water, into blood. They know that they're following a God who parted the Red Sea and made it so that they could cross on dry land. And here they are, where they are, by divine appointment, in a place of bitterness. And there is something being revealed about them that is very telling for them and for future generations. Brought to a place of bitterness. And how do they respond? Do they respond in prayer and petition, trusting in God's provision, trusting that the God who had brought them safely thus far, the God who had delivered them through the judgments upon Egypt, would again show himself faithful and true, that he'd be deserving of all their trust and acceptance of him? No, that's not what happens here. They find themselves in a place of bitterness, and rather than responding as they ought with trust and thanksgiving, the text tells us in verse 24, and the people grumbled against Moses. Now, Moses isn't leading on his own initiative. None of this was Moses' idea or plan. The Lord has drafted Moses to be the leader of his people, to bring them out. Moses is following the leadership of God. And so at the end of the day, it is not Moses that the people are grumbling about. It is the guidance that God has given Moses. Life brings with it its places and times of bitterness. We see this very principle in Acts. Paul and Silas are arrested in Philippi. They're beaten by the jailer and put in stocks. And what do Paul and Silas do in this jail of bitterness? Do they rehearse what led them there? Do they curse the name of God for bringing them into a jail? No. Luke tells us in Acts they sang praises to God while being wounded in prison. That's not what the people of Israel do. They grumbled. They couldn't recognize the providential hand that had guided them there, and they could not trust, they would not trust the hand of God. And so they grumble against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Just as they have at every step of the way, they refuse to be united in faith to the promises of God. God has promised to Abraham's descendants that they will return to the promised land, and yet every obstacle along the way they see is an invitation not to have faith against the circumstances around them, but is an invitation to doubt all that God is doing among them. We can be the same way. Life can bring with it so many difficulties. If we knew what awaited us tomorrow or next week or next month, we'd probably be afraid to get out of bed. Because if we know our hearts, oftentimes we are like the children of Israel. When hardship and difficulty come, when life gets difficult, we complain. It's far easier in the flesh and in our sinful humanity to complain and doubt that the God who has brought us so far in our lives will continue to bring us forward beyond the difficulties, beyond the challenges that await us. Again, verse 23, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter, therefore it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And Moses, did God forget that we have all these livestock, all these children? Did he forget a nation needs water? Did God forget about us? And Moses does what the people of God should have done. He cries out in petition to God. Verse 25, and he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he drew it into the water, and the water became sweet. There, right there in the midst, it was the Lord's provision the whole time, and yet, all they could do was complain. Every step of the story, they're going to complain. They're going to doubt God. But this isn't so much about God as it is about them and who they are and what kind of people they are and what kind of faith they have. The Lord makes it abundantly clear that this he was intentional in bringing them to the place of bitterness, to this place where they would have to either exercise faith and trust in God's promises and provision for them, or to reveal themselves a nation of grumblers. And so verse 25 concludes, there the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them. He's brought his people to a place of difficulty, a place of challenge, so that they would be tested, so that who they are and how they believed in God would be shown once and for all. And we see the Lord do this from time to time with his people. In Hosea chapter 2, the Lord speaks of the judgment that he's going to bring upon Israel because of its unfaithfulness. In chapter 2, verse 14, the Lord says, therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Babylon. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband no longer, will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by her no more. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beast of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the grounds. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land. And I will make you lie down in safety, and I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and in steadfast love and in mercy. The Lord saying he's going to take his people out to the wilderness, a place where all they have to hope in is him, where it won't be their craftiness, it won't be their ability to work that continues their existence. And that is exactly what the Lord is doing here, where they will either believe or perish, where they will seek the help of the Lord, or they will perish. And right off with this first question on the test, as it were, they're beginning to fail. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I'm the Lord, your healer. People of Israel, as we see, as we continue reading on in the Old Testament, aren't inclined to do what the Lord wants. After the generation that comes into the promised land passes away, we're told in Judges there arose a generation that did not know the mighty works of the Lord. And the refrain throughout the book of Judges is that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And here the Lord is calling his people to the opposite. So often we want to live lives on our terms. We want to do what we think is right. We want to do what we think we should do. We want to, as Proverbs says, we want to lean on our own understanding. The Lord is telling his people that that is not how they are to live under his lordship. That if he is to be their Lord, if he is to be their God, they're going to have to follow his wisdom. They're to look at the world as he does. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God. And the voice of the Lord their God has been constantly telling them not to fear, but to trust Him, to believe in His provision for them. And yet, their own inner voice was telling them, here we are in the wilderness, here we are by a bitter pond. God has failed us. We should never look at the circumstances of our lives and try to make a decision on whether God is faithful or not. God brings us through trials. He brings us through difficulties. As we're told in the New Testament, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. Paul wrote his son in the faith, all who seek to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. See, the people of Israel, despite what God has told them, had an idealized understanding of what their journey was going to be. They think the journey is going to go exactly how they want to. You've probably heard before, if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. You know, tell God how you want your life to unfold. Yet God has a desire to bring them out to test them. We might think, well, that was just the children of Israel. Here we are under the new covenant. God doesn't test us. We don't go through the same trials they do, yet we do. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Or some translations have it, various tests. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as I said last week, our story is much the same as the children of Israel. As Alec Motyer said, a child of Israel coming out of Exodus would say, we were in a foreign land in bondage under the sentence of death, but our mediator, the one who stands between us and God, came to us with the promise of deliverance. We trusted in the promises of God, took shelter under the blood of the Lamb, and He led us out. Now we are on the way to the promised land. We are not there yet, of course, but we have the law to guide us, and through blood sacrifice, we also have His presence in our midst. So He will stay with us until we get to our true country, our everlasting home. Dr. Alec Motyer said, now, think about it, a Christian today could say the same thing, almost word for word. We find ourselves oftentimes in places of bitterness. We don't often find ourselves by bitter bodies of water, dehydrated, but oftentimes in the Lord's leadership of His life, He brings us through circumstances that are dark and bitter and hard to go through, and we are being tested in those. We are, as Peter says, going through fiery trials. And the test of who we are and what we believe about Jesus is on full display, both for ourselves and the world. I think oftentimes the Lord brings us through the difficult circumstances that we go through in our lives so that we could understand who He is and we could understand who we are. Oftentimes it's easy to think when a difficulty happens at work or we receive a hard, difficult diagnosis from the doctor, it's easy for us to think, well, somehow we deserve better and somehow God's promises are going to fall short because of the slight momentary affliction that we're going through. And yet, when we wise up, when we listen up, and when we come to our senses, and when we do what we should have done when the difficulty began, the Lord proves Himself faithful. See, here you have a people that are much like ourselves. Life gets hard, and somehow they think that God has forgotten what they need. Hey, God, we've been in the desert for 3 days. Did you forget we needed water? We know you created us. We know you are the creator and sustainer of everyone and everything, but somehow it seems to have slipped your attention that we require water. And he brings them to water, and it's bitter. He brings them to the bitter place, and they grumble. And Moses prays. And right there, notice the text doesn't say Moses had to go on a 3-day journey and find something to make the water palatable. Says Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. So all the voices grumbling, murmuring, complaining against God, and yet Moses is the only one calling upon the Lord. The Lord answers. He makes the bitter place sweet. And he makes it clear. This was no accident. Where you were, this place of bitterness was not an accident. It wasn't Moses reading the map wrong. I brought you here to test you. I brought you here to know what was inside you. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. You're worried about bitterness. Think about what you've been saved from, and if you listen to me, I will continue to save you from that which you have already been saved on, because you were in a nation that felt all the plagues, all my wrath upon it, and yet you came out unscathed. Now you have to listen up. Now you have to listen to me. Now you have to walk by faith and not by sight, because I am the Lord your healer. And he brings them from this place of bitterness where they failed the test, except for Moses calls upon the name of the Lord. He brings them there, verse 27, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. After all their murmuring, after all their complaining, God graciously does over and above what they have asked for. He brings them in a place of plenty. He brings them in a place of refuge. Oftentimes when bitterness comes into our lives, bitter circumstances, thankfully the Lord doesn't leave us there. Paul and Silas in the prison, a place that none of us would want to be. Prisons in our day and age here in America look like 5-star hotels compared to the jail in Philippi. After they spend their night singing hymns of praise to God, the Lord sends an earthquake and releases them. The Lord doesn't leave us in our places of bitterness. He brings us to our Elims. He brings us to places of refreshing. Aren't we thankful that all of life is not a fiery trial? We go in them and then we come out of them, just like the 3 Hebrew children in Daniel. They go in the fiery furnace for a time and then they come out. And if life hasn't brought bitterness your way, if you haven't gone through difficulty, I think what we'd all say to some level, the past year and a half has brought bitterness, but oftentimes it strikes closer to home. Life hasn't brought those bitter periods, those bitter seasons that strike hard and seem to rob life of all joy. If that hasn't happened yet, I promise you it will. Some of you are older, some of you are younger, and I promise you on the basis of God's word that you're going to go through hard circumstances. You know, so often we'll think of the circumstances that we're in right now as so difficult, and then years later we look at them as the good old days. with fondness and nostalgia. Even the children of Israel, they find themselves by Marah, and yet later on they're going to wish they were back at Marah. How do we go through and pass the test? Paul speaks of the gospel in Romans chapter 1 as the obedience of faith. Proverbs tells us that we're not to lean on our own understanding, but to acknowledge Him in all our ways. That's exactly what the Lord is telling His people here. We might be tempted to think of things in a pure worldly sense. We might look at our bank account, our circumstance, our neighborhood, and think that those are the only defining factors that matter in our life. That whatever it takes to get a raise, get a promotion, and get through is what matters. The Lord says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, how are we going to pass? We've got to pass the hearing test. We're not to be hearers only, as James says, because if we're hearers only, James says that we're like a man who has seen his appearance in a mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. We can go through a test and fail to appreciate what God's Word is saying about us in those circumstances. But we have to be hearers and doers. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His eyes and give ear to His commandments and do that which is right in His eyes and give ears to His commandment and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Now it's one thing to listen and listen. You know, we live in a very privileged period of time. We have so much access to God's Word. You can go online and spend 24/7 listening to great sermons that have been preached since the invention of audio recording. You can hear and hear and hear till your ears fall off. But hearing's not enough. The people of Israel are going to hear and hear and hear, but they never come to the place where they want to do. They never want to come to the place of trust. Some of you in this room right now, you could have spent your whole lives in church listening, but never doing. Never putting into practice the faith that the Word calls you to. And the Lord says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His eyes, we don't need to put out a survey to understand how we are to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. We don't need to put out a study to understand who we are to be in the times we're in. We look to Him. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His eyes and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer. Saying if you want to pass this test of life, for them it was life in the wilderness, it was life after Exodus. Saying you're going to have to listen to me and you're going to have to trust me. I'll tell you, God is saying the same thing to all of us right now. If we're going to make it through what life has in store for us, we're going to have to listen to Him and we're going to have to trust Him. And you can't do that outside of salvation. The first thing that we do in listening to God is accepting that He has done what we cannot do. Just as He has done for the children of Israel, He has redeemed him with His mighty power. He has saved them from the slavery of Egypt. God has done what we could not do. He has saved us from our slavery to Satan, sin, and death by sending His Son, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, to live a perfect life without sin, to die the death our sins deserve, and to rise victorious over the powers of Satan, sin, and death. And so that he could prepare a place for us. And so that through the indwelling of the Spirit, he could lead us and direct us every step of the way on this journey, on our exodus, as we go and make our way to our everlasting home. And as we come to this time of invitation, I will tell you, if you have never listened to the call of the gospel to repent of your sins and trust in him, you can't walk in obedience in any other way. Our obedience is built on the foundation of faith and trust in God and Christ. The author of Hebrews tells us the reason why this wilderness generation we're learning about failed. The author of Hebrews puts it this way: they failed because their hearts were not united by faith. You can listen all you want, you can hear all you want, but if you don't come to a place of faith and trust in God, you're not going to make it through. You'll be like this wilderness generation and fail the test. So as we come to this time of invitation, I encourage you, if you haven't placed your faith in Christ, do so now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you even for the hard things that life brings with it, those bitter periods, because we know that through those bitter periods, through those fiery trials that we must go through in this present age, that through them you demonstrate the genuineness of our faith, which is more precious than gold, which perishes in fire. And I pray that if there are any in here under the voice of in the sound of my voice, they have not trusted in Christ, that you would open their eyes to their need for him, and that they would trust him. And for those of us who are your children, I pray that we would live our lives in light of the faith that we have, that we wouldn't lead on our own understanding, that we would not do what is right in our own eyes, but that we would seek to walk in your will. For this we pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.